Good morning, folks. Welcome back and happy Friday. And it's time to talk about a nation that's, well, I would say it's hard anymore, David, to deny that it's not only swirling the toilet bowl, but it's probably headed way down into the dark spot. Because, what we're seeing is just indications that, nothing is new that hasn't been in plan, in progress for a long time now. We'll talk about some of that. There were a few things, though, at least that give us some more clues this week. So let me say first, good morning. Co-host and friend here, David Justice. And David, how are you doing? And what's at the top of your list as far as things we need to make sure we talk about today?
Well, the things we talked about today, I'd like to talk about some good news. It seems like just as usual, the news is relatively bad. The thing that strikes me is kind of dire this week was the sentencing of Stuart Rhodes, who was sentenced to 18 years for seditious conspiracy. He's a Yale-educated lawyer, and even wrote an award-winning paper in law school relative to enemy combatants. The guy was involved in no violence. He did not even go into the Capitol, and yet he was sentenced for 18 years of seditious conspiracy. What this is saying to me is that the dark side is very desperate, and they're going to do anything they can to stop the light from coming into the darkness. But the good news takeaway from that is this act is so desperate, it's a tell just to how desperate they are. And it's to me, it's good news, even though it's bad news, that it's just a matter of time. And these guys are going down, and they cannot sustain their narrative. And the more they lose it, the more desperate they're going to get. So the good sign of something like this, and I think he'll be pardoned later once we win this battle.
We'll see. Yeah.
But there you go.
Well, I guess on that, though, he'll be pardoned. We'll see, because you first have to have somebody in the office of the presidency that is an honest person, and that the chances look dimmer for that by the day. I know. I hope that I hope we disagree on that, and I hope I'm wrong. But you know, color me skeptical. I did see one interesting piece on the sentencing of Stuart Rhodes. And this is from John Whitehead, the Rutherford Institute. He's always had a good head on his shoulders for liberty. And he says, this is really all about seditious conspiracy. You're right. To be convicted of that, the charge against Stuart Rhodes, 18 years, he was allegedly the driving force behind the so-called riots that weren't. But one here, he notes, this is the key. One does not have to engage in violence against the government. One does not have to vandalize public property. You don't even have to trespass on property that used to be the property of the people, but that now the big brother that has replaced the government has declared off limits to the peons. To be convicted of seditious conspiracy, all you have to do is be accused of fomenting a revolution. And he says, what we really ought to be taking away here, and you're right, and I think we're all in agreement, this is about the long-term ramifications of empowering or even allowing Big Brother to wage war on individuals whose political ideas or expressions challenge in any way Big Brother's power. You notice I'm not using the word the government, because I don't think that's what we have anymore. We don't have a government, certainly not of, by, or for the people, certainly not even remotely related to the pretense of a constitution. What we have is a dictatorship. And it has basically been real clear that elections don't matter anymore. Your right to petition the government for a redress of grievance, that doesn't matter anymore. Hell, the law doesn't matter anymore. And we've seen so much evidence of that. Remember, this is the same week where the FBI basically said, hey, when it comes to bribery of the fake president, you can't even have the documents that prove, that aren't even classified, what you already know, what we already know, but hey, we're just not going to let you hear it. So the FBI is in contempt of Congress. Big deal. Is Congress going to stand up and have a backbone? Don't hold your breath. This is the same Congress that just said the hell with the whole concept of budgets and not printing money to infinity. Go ahead, David.
Well, I'm gonna err on the side that truth will have its day, because truth is eternal. Truth is always, and their lies and their propaganda have a shelf life.
You're right, by the way, that
the FBI finally confirmed the existence of the form FD-1023, alleging Vice President Joe Biden being engaged in a criminal bribery scheme. We know that the Hunter Biden laptop is coming back to Biden in the ways that it's just a matter of time. They've been the laptop, the photos have been released on the internet so that the people can see. I think that there's enough people working for truth who still believe in the principles of covenant with God, covenant with the one nation under God, the constitutional limitations on the power of government. But we have to understand all of that was lost a long time ago, but most recently when the coup happened against Trump in November of 2020. I'm going to fight for the principle in that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now the people are finally seeing what that actually means, because like you said, we no longer have a government. We have a mob, we have a syndicate, and they're impersonating government, and they're going to do everything they can to protect their little stronghold, but it's just a matter of time, because the truth ultimately will append that, Mark.
Well, and when it comes to truth, David, I completely agree, because I think what's happening here is, in spite of the fact that the so-called law is a toilet paper piece of joke at this point, and that the courts and those that are enforcing law and, you know, what now passes for it, they're not enforcing anything except the heavy hand of a dictatorship. This is no different than Chicago in the mob days, I guess we could say nowadays, but people at least that had history classes think of the time during Al Capone when they were above the law. And this is essentially pretty much the same. It's a different group of mobsters that are running things, and they're arguably more ruthless. They certainly have more power on a national scale than the little, you know, trivial Cosa Nostra ever did. But on the other hand, you're right as far as truth is concerned, because I think more and more people are simply saying, you know, who are we kidding? We can't believe it. Well, here's an example. I hearken back this week to Saturday Night Live. Remember when, some of the listeners probably aren't old enough, but they may have seen the replays on TV. Saturday Night Live used to have a running joke. Chevy Chase played Gerald Ford, who was president in the 70s, and how Ford, who was a famous, because he was a football player in college and so forth. Anyway, Ford tripped once and fell, and that was a big deal, and they joked about that forever. Well, you got a guy in the White House now, not the president, but a fellow that's impersonating anyway, that is making the pratfalls Chevy Chase took look kind of trivial. I don't see any mocking of this guy who's so senile that you know, if I was going to do the skit on Saturday Night Live, he'd fall over and a poopy diaper would come out. But no, they're not telling the truth on that score, but people know it. And in case you missed it, Biden tripped and fell coming off the Air Force Academy where he was, he or his body double. Who knows? I think they had to pick a body double that was senile too, just so that it wasn't so obvious. David, on every front, it's the truth is there, but the lies are so transparent at this point that even though the mainstream press isn't going to talk about them, I think most Americans have figured it out a long time ago.
Well, what we're seeing is the nothing that is hidden, there's nothing that is hidden that won't be revealed, nothing that is concealed that won't be made known. We're living in the time where we're seeing all of the avenues that have been taken over by the corrupt media, education, medical, big pharma, military even, political, of course. And we're seeing that they're operating in concert to maintain a delusion that has been foisted upon us because we refuse to love the truth. And I'm going to make an argument, and I have many times on this show, God's sending us that delusion because we refused, we the people, we were so caught up in our lives, we were all doing what we do, we didn't have time, you know, because we were all preoccupied. But this is that time now where evil rears its ugly head and exposes who it is. And those of us that have a relationship and a covenant with our Father have an opportunity to repent, to get back into alignment, to come out of the hypnosis, to come out of the delusion, and stand for truth. And that's where the ultimate battle is. And I know we win this battle because truth can't lose a battle. Truth can't lose a war. It may lose a battle or two here and there, but everything they're doing is to protect, again, their empire, their evil, dark, sinister, pedophile, human trafficking empire, and they will go to no length. They will stop short of nothing. There's no link they won't go to. There's nothing they will stop short of to accomplish their agenda, even if that means taking us into World War III, and which is what Trump is actually talking about them doing. And they're going to do everything they can to take him down. The Durham Report, for example, came out, mentioned that Comey, which is a former FBI director, is a threat to the rule of law. Well, Comey turns around and starts going on all of the fake news channels and reporting to America that Trump is the one that's the threat to the rule of law. So everything that is being exposed against them, they're twisting it and projecting it back on to those that are the truth tellers. And this is the only weapon they have left. Well, actually, it's the only weapon they've ever had, which is to spin the truth and create a propaganda, delusional narrative. But I think that's their job, for at least if we look at the scripture that says all things work together for good for those that are called. And so I think this is all a matter of course, and it's just a matter of time before they go down.
Well, and the question, of course, is how long? And the real issue, and this is the one that I have frequently been pointing out, you read through the letters to the churches, the Kahalim, and so forth in Revelation, and you see that one of the keys is to those who overcome. So we have to stand, having done all to stand. We got to stand, got to be ready, and have to be overcomers through this time. And I think that's going to be the challenge for folks, is to watch, know, understand, speak the truth boldly, be ready in season and out to give an account for the hope that's within us. All of those things we know, but we're going to have to be ready to deal with a lot of stuff coming down. And I want to make sure we talk about some of that today. I think we can see clearly where some things are headed today. But the thing that I keep emphasizing, David, is this is a war on every front. It's literally on every front that people can imagine, and a whole lot of fronts that people can't imagine. And I think that's what ends up getting to a lot of people who have seen what's happening, and they're saying, okay, I'm prepared. I have this, or I have that. I have firearms. I have a Bible, you know, in my go pack. And yet, when it's on every front, then things fall apart. I know that as a pilot, I used to, when we practice emergencies, it turns out that you never have an aviation accident. I mean, very rarely as a result of one single thing. It's always multiple factors. In other words, the pilot screws something up, maybe doesn't have enough fuel on board, and flies into bad weather, and then doesn't have a plan B. It takes several things before finally we see a fatality, and it's, people know about Murphy's Law, too, which says things all tend to go wrong at once. Well, you know what? The adversary is a planner, and he tries to make things all go wrong at the same time. So that's why whether it's flying a plane and seeing mechanical failure on top of a weather issue, on top of a fuel problem, on top of, you know, a screaming kid in the back seat, whatever it may be, we are going to have a whole lot of things come down at once. We've talked about the false flags, the economic meltdown, the potential for World War III, the food issues. And we have stories, David, this week on every single one of those. And I was debating how to do this because they're so all over the place that it's almost kind of hard to say, wow, is there a single front? No, there's not. So here's one from Natural News. Microshaft, that's the proper pronunciation I've contended for a long time. They made an announcement saying, hey, you thought that Windows was bad already as far as watching you, spying on you, and making sure that we have backdoors into everything? Well, Windows 11 is going to have robust built-in, you can't stop it, artificial intelligence across the platform. And it says already, privacy experts and advocates are concerned. Do you think? Windows Copilot, it's going to be called. You can't get away from it. It's going to be there, and it'll take control of the plane, whether you like it or not. How's that for a starter? Go ahead, David.
Well, they're going to create, actually they've already created, and now they're going to sustain an artificial reality. It's all about transhumanism. They want their AI to basically know everything all the time. So they're creating their own dominion. Now, ours is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of hell.
On earth.
Theirs is a false reality. Ours is a true reality. I think this is a challenging moment for the so-called church, those who represent the Mashiach on this planet, to get a better grip around who we are and the reality that is actually the one in which we live and move and have our being, as distinguished from the fake reality, the matrix that they're creating, which is a prison for our minds. And so to whatever degree the church has been negligent in promoting the kingdom as a present tense reality, a moment by moment, very real, substantial, reality, to the degree that they have not promoted that is the degree that this other reality, this fake reality, has risen up and is now challenging the reality of the kingdom. And again, the deception shall be so great that even the very elect could be deceived. And I think that's what we're dealing with here, because we really are dealing with artificial intelligence. And I think most people live inside of a world of artificial intelligence because they're not even aware that they're not intelligent. You know, there's a lot of PhDs. There's a lot of people with big college degrees, but they're not very astute in reality. They're well indoctrinated into the false reality, and now they are the high priests and the perpetuators of the delusion. So that AI would take over our computer system. Absolutely, it's axiomatic, and so there is only one way out, and that's for us, who profess to be followers and disciples of the truth, to actually, for a change, walk in it and call out the propaganda for what it is. And I think that's the only way we're like ultimately going to be able to move forward in victory.
Okay, and on that score, here's one of the things that I think is important. I have the idea that most of the listeners, I'm sure, and even a lot of Americans have a general understanding that something is really, really wrong. I think most of them that have been paying attention recognize that, you know, the election was rigged. I really doubt that there are that many people that are blind to that. I think just about anybody, and that would include a whole lot of leftists and liberals, are aware that the guy in the White House, whether they believe he's elected or not, they have come to recognize the man is senile. The man is not fit to have a nuclear button anywhere close to his hands. And, you know, he needs people to change his diapers. This is not the guy you want trying to pilot the ship of state in World War III. So there are some obvious places where you say, okay, nobody is not seeing that. But on the other hand, when it comes to those of us that are saying, look, we need to understand the truth. We need to be ready to give an account. Then it's important we do have some facts at our fingertips to point out how deep this rabbit hole goes, how big some of the lies are. Here's one. I want to throw this on the table. Now, I don't know if you've seen this story or not. I can send you the link here. I just saw it. It just came up before the show. And what caught my eye was that during the top of the hour news, you know, the Bureau of Lying Statistics is parroting the wonderful jobs data, right? 339,000 new jobs were created. Oh, isn't the economy wonderful? Yeah, while people are basically realizing they can't put a meal on their table, and they're going to be really hurting a year from now. So this is a piece from Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge. It's fairly deep analysis, lots of charts and graphs, and it basically says this. We live in a strange time where skepticism among the very serious people about government veracity when it comes to data has become mundane. In other words, nobody buys their bogus statistics anymore. But the credibility of the most important U.S. economic data, the monthly jobs data, has come in the form of periodic seasonal adjustment resets. In other words, what they do is they put out a headline and they say more jobs, and then next month they go, well, not as many as we said. maybe not even remotely as many. So we learn, says the Zero Hedge piece here, that all the data that guided markets and the central banksters has been fake, manipulated wrong for years. But even if you ignore that, the devil is really in the details. So here we go. More readers are probably aware that according to BLS, there are now roughly 3.3 million more jobs than there were at the peak just before the COVID crash. And they give the numbers and they got the charts and the graphs. On the surface, this is impressive because a deficit of some 22 million jobs during the pandemic have been erased. But if you start digging, then the problems emerge. Like, a lot of the jobs, if not the majority of them, have gone to, get this, multiple job holders. Meaning, there are lots of people who hold two, three, or more jobs in order to try to make ends meet. How about this? A lot of the recent job creation has gone to, you guessed it, low-paying part-time jobs, while full-time jobs have stagnated. But wait, there's more. According to the household survey, there were virtually no new jobs created, real jobs, for much of 2022, even as the so-called establishment survey, the Bureau of Lying Statistics, claimed over 2 million new jobs had been added over that same time period. But wait, there's more still. There are some glaring glitches in the narrative and discrepancies, and the bureaucrats aren't very diligent, it seems, as far as making the figures add up correctly. And so all of the manipulation is becoming even more obvious. One place where the BLS has allowed a glaring inconsistency in the data persist that'll soon be very politically charged is, where have all these new workers come from? You want to take a guess? Here's the headline. All of the new jobs since the COVID crash have gone to foreign-born workers. And they got the charts and they've got the graphs and they show what's happened. But basically, all the new job creation since the COVID crash has gone to foreign-born workers. Native-born workers have stagnated. They've been unable to break above pre-COVID highs. And, you know, I mean, that shouldn't surprise anybody. Look how many millions upon millions have come in. For every alleged fake job created, even if people are holding two or three of them, you've got three, four, five illegal invaders coming in. Well, don't worry. They don't need jobs. They're getting paid by the communist Chinese and the Iranians and the Russians and all the other foreign militaries, or by Soros's people. So basically, the more you look, the more you actually understand the data, the more you realize, wow, this is serious. The lies go way deep. Go ahead, David. We got about a minute or so.
All right. Well, let's renew the conversation relative to the private monetary system that has been implemented in America and on the planet. You know, the constitutional government has been set aside, and the private system is running parallel with it. So we have a non-constitutional system, and we have a constitutional system. Well, to the degree that we've abandoned the constitutional system and moved into the fake monetary system, the false weights and measure system, the subjective reality, they've made the Constitution irrelevant, and they've made their system now the one that they're using to usurp, to circumvent the Constitution. Now, the honest weights and measures provision of Scripture, the 7-year Sabbath, the cancellation of debt, all of that system, which is scriptural, is the covenant that America was founded to operate within. And had we been operating within that, we would have not been facing this fall of America the way we are. But we abandoned the honest weights and measures. We abandoned the covenant with our Father. We abandoned the Constitution. Now there's a form of constitutional law going on, and there's just enough to keep us patriots who still believe in the Constitution convinced that, well, I guess we'll come back on the other side.
All right. All right, we are back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday Show. We're both your Colorado-based hosts, Mark Call and David Justice, are talking about so many things that are still essentially showing that the narrative is out there, it's still in force, and more Americans, especially all of those, it seems, that have eyes to see, have realized, at least to a certain extent, the depth of the lie that they've been subjected to, and they're rebelling against it one way or another, even if it just amounts to saying, hey, quietly in my own little private space here, I'm not going to believe the BS they're feeding me. But we got example after example from all over the map, and you know, I don't think any of us doubt that they're going to accelerate before they finally cave. But David, as we went to break, you got interrupted where you were headed, so let's go back and pick it up on that theme.
Well, you know, and this ties right in with raising the debt ceiling. The Scripture provides that every 7 years we have a Sabbath and that debts get canceled. But see, under the private system that has been foisted upon us, they raise the debt ceiling rather than cancel the debt. So, in other words, we keep going into more and more debt when the principles of honest weights and measures prevent something like this global coup d'etat from occurring, because it prevents those who love money from being able to just continue to operate with credit and raise the debt ceiling. Do we realize that the by the time we're done with this scenario, if a correction's not made, all of the real estate on the planet, everything that is owned, will have been purchased by a private fiat currency that has its basis in a lie, in propaganda, and the whole world will be owned because it will be purchased through these private, through this private system. But this is an illusion. Because they can't really own the world through a private monetary system, because truth is what truth is, and our Father's kingdom is eternal, and whether we like it or not, it is the final say in how reality works. So they've taken us down this road, and as long as they can keep us subjugated and intoxicated and deluded into believing that their financial system is necessary, then it promotes them as necessary. And when I say them, I'm talking about the pedophiles, the human traffickers, the people that are running this planet using the so-called governments of the planet, the structures of government, but they're not government. There's only one government, there's only one true king, and the sooner we get our mind around this, the better off we'll be. So Mark, you were going to talk about the debt ceiling and what happened, but now keep in mind, this is inside their system, and we're supposed to be coming out from among that system. So it's important, I guess, to know what they're up to so that we know exactly how it is we should be able to navigate our way out of that system. And exactly what that means, Mark.
Well,
go ahead.
The answer is, you know, that the Bible is real clear. Multiple places, I like to point to Proverbs, over half a dozen times. As a matter of fact, if you look for other for words that are different, you'll find it's more than that. But over half a dozen times, the idea of dishonest weights and measures are called an abomination in Scripture, in just Proverbs alone. And, of course, throughout the Torah, we see the same thing in Deuteronomy and other places. And what we have in the United States, and we talk about this fairly frequently, is a system of dishonest money. It's not really even money. It's not really even lawful currency. It's just a fake. And it's coming apart at the seams. And, you know, when they started breaking the rules and saying, to hell with the Constitution, then they put this thing they called the debt ceiling. Okay, we're going to break the rules, but, you know, we're just going to do it till we go blind. We're just going to do it until we can't pay the debts. No, we'll call it a debt ceiling. But whenever we feel like it, we'll raise the debt ceiling. And now the debt ceiling raises such a joke, and the rhinos cave so badly here, and it's funny to me, you know, I hear about all these negotiations between the rhino at the head of the house and the guy who can't even head the toilet bowl properly, and I'm wondering who's negotiating with who here, because what came out of it was, well, do you want to have a new debt ceiling? Oh yeah, we'll raise it. How much? Well, as much as we need to. We don't have any limits. What spending are we going to cut? Cut? Hell, we're not going to cut anything. And literally, that's the simple summary of what was done here, which was nothing. We're just going to allow the out of control to continue, because if we don't kick the can down the road, people might figure it out even sooner. So if there's any good news in this at all, David, it's that, yes, we knew the whores in Congress, all of them, both wings of the same bird of prey, were sellouts. Now we've seen it one more time. And what does that mean? The people that haven't gotten their money out of the fake banking system yet, well, no, that's not enough. This is the problem. You can take your money out of the bank and have paper, but the paper's going to be almost as worthless, almost as fast. The paper, at least, you can burn eventually, and it'll heat your home this winter. But for a while, it'll burn fast. Beyond that, people need to start saying, okay, I knew this all along. I've been given a couple days reprieve. They're still suppressing the price of silver, gold, and maybe I better get something real while I can that's not controllable, that doesn't get redeemed through the net. If AI takes over Microsoft Windows and people say, well, I got my Bitcoin, I got my Ethereum, I'll just get on my Windows or my wonderful Gulag-based Android or Apple operating system and I'll redeem my Bitcoin. No, you won't, because the internet is AI controlled. And as long as there's the hook in there, you don't necessarily have it at all. Besides which, it's not necessarily real to begin with. So people have been given a warning. They've been given a time and a little bit of a reprieve. And I hope that more and more will begin to take action and understand that. Go ahead, David.
Well, the solution is so radical that it's difficult for most to comprehend. We went down a material path a long, long time ago, and what we're experiencing is the culmination of the material path. Messiah Yeshua demonstrated to us what the spiritual path looks like. Our churches, our institutional hierarchy, went into damage control back in the day, and they're still in damage control. They're not really telling us who we are relative to our Father. We are the sons and the daughters of the Most High on this planet. All of the power that Yeshua had, he gave to us. All of the things that he did, he said we can do also. We don't focus on those things in the church. We see the church institution, you go to church and you worship, you give God your half hour of time, and you sing songs and you hear a message and go home, and that's it. And that's what the Christian world thinks of as doing the right thing. But it's so much more than that. It's an evolution of our being into the thing that we've been, into the thing that from which we fell. And Jesus was the first born amongst many. Okay, so what's the alternative? Well, we're living in the alternative, and if we can't find our way out of this alternative, it's only because we still don't know who we are and what's possible. We're only limited by the limitations we put on our own imaginations. The Holy Spirit can bring all things we need as long as we give our entire dependence to our Father. But we would prefer to depend on a system, and this is why the legislators in Congress raised the debt ceiling, because they're worried about their power. They want to maintain their position. And, oh, I'm sure they got the narrative that, oh, you got to vote for this because it's the end of the world if you don't. And the truth is, it would be.
And so they
debt ceiling over and over again because they're facing the end of their world. And so as long as they continue to promote the private system of unjust weights and measures, and as long as the so-called church, the institutional church, remains silent about who we actually are and how we can transform this entire planet, if we would just become dependent on our Father and learn the truth and the ways of the kingdom, then we're going to continue to go down this path, and we're going to inevitably go to our own destruction. Now, it's clear that we would go down this path. But we're at the time where if we find the dilemma, if we find a contradiction, we've got to change the premise. We've got to choose. Israel was destroyed by Assyria. Judah was destroyed by Babylon for doing the very same thing back in the day. They became dependent upon the kings of the earth. They committed fornication with the other nations of the world. Israel was called a whore, and as a result, our father divorced them. We're doing the same thing. If we can't see that commerce is a form of sexual intercourse with the world, and we don't understand that, it's time we began to understand this dependency, because ultimately, this system relies on our dependence, our buy-in, our consent for its justification to exist. And so to the degree that we give it our allegiance is the degree that we're suffering under it, and is the degree that we will fail, fall, and die when it falls and die. But we don't need to worry about that, because the debt ceiling was raised again. So we've kicked the can a little farther down the road, Mark.
Well, and again, I don't know that the can is even kickable at this point. I think at this point, things are so far gone, and the numbers, they just keep adding zeros, and we've seen this in every hyperinflation throughout history. Are we there at the Zimbabwe point, the Weimar Republic point? No, not yet. But you can smell it from here, and it's clear that they have no intention of stopping, and they didn't even, basically, this debt ceiling bill was so bad, so transparent, that they literally didn't cut anything. And they don't even call a cut anymore. Think about that. If they were going to raise it 10%, but instead they only raise it 8%, they say, hey, that's a 2% cut. Because even though it's up 8%, well, it's 2% less than we wanted. So they call that a cut. And the kinds of things that people have been seeing through for a while are now so transparent. Again, it's hard not to laugh at it, as in fact, you see that the spiral here is out of control. David, I want to change gears. I'm going to throw out another story. I mentioned this during the break, and this is one that my first reaction was, oh, you got to be kidding me. And then what was funny was not so much the story itself as the handling of it. So here we go. This one had some pretty wide coverage earlier today. I saw it in multiple sources. And here's the sentence from the UK's Independent, one of the not quite as bad as the New York Times, for example, but they're definitely up there in the pulpy category. An artificial intelligent U.S. drone. This is one of these flying like a Predator type system. I don't think it says in here exactly what it was, but anyway, it was a simulation, and it was it was programmed to destroy air defense systems. Okay, so they're simulating an artificial intelligent attack on a air defense system, like say Russian S-400s or whatever. It rebelled and it killed its human operator after the drone and the AI decided they were in the way of its mission to destroy air defense. This according to a U.S. Air Force official who said that there were chilling details in the simulated test. So he released the details. During the simulation, the system had been tasked with destroying missile silos and sites overseen by a human operator who would decide the final targets and make the final decisions on any attacks. But the AI system concluded that operator stood in the way of its goal, and instead it decided to wipe that person out. So there's more details here, but here's the kicker. This is from The Guardian. That's another UK source that tends to be pretty left-leaning. The headline says, U.S. Air Force denies running a simulation in which the AI drone killed the operator. The colonel says, well, there were highly unexpected strategies the drone used to achieve its goal in a virtual test. But wait a minute. Now let's go to this story. This is the Business Insider. An Air Force official story about the AI drone going rogue during a simulation never actually happened. The official had said it killed the operator because the person that was doing it was keeping it from accomplishing its objective. But later, the official said he misspoke. And the Air Force clarified it was only a hypothetical situation to begin with, and it never happened besides. Now, here's what's funny. I look at a number of other sources, and I see 404, file not found. 404, file not found. So they're purging this off the web, too. There's something here that's kind of interesting, David. Go ahead.
Well, I'm intrigued by the story of the AI bot turning on its originator. It reminds me of a Star Trek episode where the satellite Voyager that they had released into
Viger, yeah.
Outer space had a Viger, and it was destroying carbon units, or it was planning on destroying the carbon units on the planet because they were the ones that were ultimately destroying the planet. I can see a scenario here where AI would reason its way back to, well, I was told to destroy something, and so it's kind of a subjective reality. You know, this artificial intelligence is limited. It's not conscious. And here's the distinction. They don't want us to be conscious, because consciousness is what brings us into reality. And when we start asking the right questions and start searching out the truth, we make discoveries that are evolutionary inside of our relationship with our Father. And the last thing they want is for the sons of God to be manifest on the planet. The entire creation groans for that. So it's only right that they would try to kill all of the people of our Father that are manifesting on the planet. And yeah, they're going to use AI to do that, but ultimately they will lose, because that's just the AI has a limitation on its subjective reality, and it can't think outside that subjective reality. But no, it's and I want to go just touch back briefly on your Zimbabwe comment. There, we have learned from history, Venezuela, Zimbabwe, and other countries where they kept raising the debt ceiling, they kept going into more debt, and then they had spiraling inflation, and then it was the end. We're experiencing right now that very thing, and it's just a matter of time, and the spiraling inflation is a result of overprinting too much money. And it loses all of its value because you've diluted it so much. So we are living in the time of that happening. And I guess there's good news and bad news in that. And the good news is it's the end of their system. But the bad news is
those that are dependent on that system
rather than on the principles of the kingdom, they're going to suffer to the same degree they've been dependent. Go ahead, Mark.
All right. Let's talk about a couple of things, because, you know, when you mentioned Zimbabwe and some others, Ludwig von Mises, one of my favorites, one of the founders of the Austrian School of Economics, as it's called, and basically it's biblical economics, and it says you can't print money out of nothing, among other things. But essentially, he talks about what's called the crack-up boom. And we're talking about the crack-up boom on a number of fronts today. But the crack-up boom economically is the point at which the average Joe on the street realizes, that's a bad term. The Joe on the street, if he's senile, probably not going to realize anything. The average person on the street looks at his wallet and says, you know, the money in there is never, ever going to buy as much again as it does today. It's going to devalue from here on out. And I know that. So I might as well spend it. I get rid of it. And at that point, the die is cast. And when everybody realizes that they need to get rid of it, it's like an old maid game where nobody wants it, then we're off to the races for the hyperinflation. Now, what's interesting is, you know, how far along that are we? What's going to happen? Well, the powers that be have seen this enough in history that they know when this happens, we need a way to distract people. Hey, how about war? How about famine? How about the other four of the four horsemen
exactly.
of the apocalypse? We'll unleash all of those things at once. They won't know what hit them. And then, by the way, we'll escape blame, too, because if they know that we're printing the money and we've done this, they may come after us with pitchforks once we get them disarmed. But on the other hand, if they're worried about everything else going to hell at the same time, they got no food, they got no water, they got no power, they can't drive their electric car, how are they going to get to us anyway? Ha ha. So, what I want to do is point out several things. We've got about a little over 5 minutes left, and I want to make sure we get to what's coming. But I think what's kind of fascinating along the psychology front are some of the other things we're seeing. This is a way of good news, too, to your point that people are starting to wake up. I've got like three quick headlines, and I'll turn it over to you. Target. Okay, PC Central, Tranny Target. They're drinking the Bud Light. And, they have lost $12 billion in the last 2 weeks, literally day after day after day. They're getting hammered in the stock market. Market cap plummets. People are saying, why would I want to take my kids in there and get them, groomed to be transgenders and have their genitalia cut off? Tuck friendly swimwear. Walmart is doing it. Another story, it was, Kohl's. And they started getting all woke and go broke, and their stock has tumbled for a third day in a row after they went woke. says another piece online here. So more and more of these companies that are all doing the ESG thing, they got their political correct marching orders from Big Brother and their public-private partnership. They're getting punished in the markets, but wait a minute, they don't have to worry about that because they don't really need to make profits. The Soros and the fake banksters and all the Big Brothers will bail them out because, you know, that's their real consumer. It's not the people buying products that matter anymore. It's those that are paying the real bills. So that's the good news. On the other hand, the bad news is all of these are signs of things coming apart. And we can say, hey, isn't it good that Target and Kohl's and ultimately all these other big box retailers are going broke? Well, you know what? There's other things that are making them go broke, too, like the real estate commercial collapse, the demise of the cities. One of the reasons they're going broke is because there's no prevention anymore from shoplifting. People are walking in. I saw a story out of Home Depot the other day. They're just walking in, loading up their pallets and taking them out the front. Nobody there stop them. So all of these are signs that are writ large of a collapse that is probably beyond most people's comprehension. Go ahead, David.
Well, and that's true, and I couldn't say it better. The ones that are orchestrating it, and we'll go up to Charles Schwab and his comrades up
Schwab.
There at the top.
You mean Klaus Schwab?
Their primary objective is to get out of this, like you said, without being hung. They're the real enemies. They're pitting us against each other. They want us to fight against each other down here in this tier of justice, while up in this other tier of justice, they're all immune because they walk inside what they consider the dominion and sovereignty of the world. And so their system is collapsing. There's no way to stop it. History is repeating itself again. What their objective is to get on the other side of this without being busted. They're fighting for their lives right now. So that's why they can go get so extreme. And as long as they can keep us distracted from what's really happening, and I think that this whole gender dysphoria, queer, transvestite nonsense is a distraction to keep us focused on what is not relevant. And further, it's a mockery. They're mocking us. And further, I think they're attempting to take the teeth out of the pedophilia so that when it becomes an issue, we won't be so shocked anymore because we've already been so shocked by everything else that, you know, our senses have just become accustomed to being shocked. But I think that's really what this is about, is they're fighting for survival. This is the end of their system. This is the end of the line for them. They know their days are numbered. They know they can't win it. So the only way they can do, the only thing that they have is to double down on the lie, to double down on the narrative and the propaganda.
Hey, David,
to keep us from seeing the truth.
We've got about 30 seconds left. Let me add one last thing I wanted to make sure we get to. We won't have enough time, but at least we can warn people. So when they double down, what are they going to do? And the answer, we already know it, false flags. And there are lots and lots of candidates. I'm seeing more chatter than I care to about an attack on the power grid. They'll blame the so-called right-wingers, the domestic violent extremists, the white supremacists, and, of course, they're in league with Russia, Russia, Russia. Will it be a big, massive power grid failure, small ones, or will it just simply be more of the things we're getting used to? Bombings, trucks running through people in crowds, lots and lots of gun violence in gun-free killing zones. Who knows, but be aware, folks. Be watchful, especially over the next couple of weeks, because something's up.